Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
It is, of course, the last Sunday of Easter, so we have to get one more in at the end of the sermon, and then I'll put that to bed for another year. In our gospel lesson, we see that our Lord promises something to us. And yet, the promise that he gives to us is not exactly what we would like for him to give to us. No, he promises that there will be tribulation. He promises that they will throw his disciples out of the synagogues, out of the temples that they had worshipped in, and that they will put them to death and think that they are offering a service to God. That's not really a promise that you desire to hear from your Lord in his farewell discourse, and yet here it is. And it is absolutely true that they did those things to the disciples. James they would have killed. Herod would see how joyful the Jews were when James was killed, and he would try to do it again and again. Yes, the apostles, all but John, would be put to death for confessing Jesus Christ as Lord. But as you know, that's not the only promise that our Lord gave. No, he promised also to send the Paraclete, the Helper, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. That Spirit bears witness to the Father and to the Son. We proclaim that that Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son, that the Father sends his Spirit, and that the Son does as well, that they are of one will, of one accord. That is our comfort. The Spirit of truth came upon those disciples a week later from today. On that Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit rushed upon them and appeared as of flames above their heads. Yes, the Spirit was upon them. And I tell you this day, the Spirit is also in you. You have that Spirit of truth. You received that Spirit of truth in the washing of the Word, in that renewal, in the drowning of the old Adam. You have received the new Christ. The Holy Spirit is now living in each and every one of you. That is a comfort. And while the world and those who follow the world rage against you, while they seek your death just as they sought the death of the disciples, the Spirit of truth is ours. No matter what lies the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh try to tell us, we have the Spirit of truth. In our Old Testament lesson, we got these words from the prophet Ezekiel. We heard that God will gather his people, that he will sanctify his name that has been profaned among the nations. And how profaned God's name is among the nations. People who claim to be Christian and those all around us who are not profane God's name every day. They blaspheme it. They take it in vain. So many things are done in the name of God, but it's whatever God you want, whatever God you choose. Oftentimes, it's the false idol of the self. But God said, I will call you all together. I will hallow my name before all the peoples. I will take you from among the nations. I will gather you out and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all of your filthiness, from all of your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. You have been called out of the filthiness that is this world. You have been brought to the font of the water and the word. You have been cleansed. You have been sprinkled clean, and God has marked you as his own. He has given you his Holy Spirit. He has torn out that rocky heart, that heart that beat for the world, and he has replaced it instead with a fleshy heart, a heart that yearns for him. Apart from Christ, that is not our heart. And yet by the call of the gospel, a call that you have heard, you have come. You have been washed. You are made clean. And you have a new heart. What does the heart of a Christian make that person look like? Well, on the outside, he might not look very different from the rest of the world. But in the way that he walks, in the way that he speaks, in his actions, in his diligence within his household, within his world, within the workplace, all of these things are affected by being a Christian. Why? Because of those words. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. You will keep my judgments and do them. Now granted, we still fail. We still commit sins just like the non-Christians do. But on this road, on this path to sanctification, our Lord lifts us back up. And he says, I have forgiven you your sins. I have sent my only begotten Son to suffer for your sins, to bleed and to die for your sins, that you might get back up and proclaim my name among the nations. Yes, your speech will be different. The way that you speak to one another, the way that you speak about one another, the amount of work that you will do to God's glory, not just for a paycheck, but that others might see that God has transformed you. The way that you walk as a husband or a wife will look different. Not that you will not continue failing your husband or wife, but that when you fail, you will sincerely repent. You will ask for forgiveness, and you will receive it. You will strive not to live like the world, going from partner to partner, but rather as a one flesh union for life. Yes, we fail, but our Lord reminds us that we have been washed. Every single morning, we are reminded that we do not belong to ourselves, rather, we were purchased by the blood of Christ. Do not be surprised when persecution comes. Persecution happened to countless Christians before Emperor Constantine. A man that we remember this very day. A man and his mother, Helena, who worked diligently to plant churches, to build churches, to raise money to build churches to Christ. Yes, Constantine released the Edict of Milan, no longer outlawing Christianity. For a time, it was illegal to believe publicly that Jesus Christ is Lord. But Constantine comes along. His mother was influential in building the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem. Constantine was the emperor of Rome that called the Council of Nicaea together, with which we get the majority of the Nicene Creed. Yes, this Roman emperor who made Christianity legal, gathered the princes from around, gathered the bishops from around, and said, fix the heresy that denies that Jesus is God. That's the kind of emperors that we used to have. Don't be surprised when those emperors no longer walk among us. Yes, they will turn against the Lord, and God will give them over to the hardness of their hearts, just as he gave Pharaoh over. Just as he gave many in those regions over, as we read from the book of Romans. and just as he is giving many over today. They rejected the truth that is God, and they turned instead of to the lies from the father of lies. Do not be surprised when they persecute you. Do not be surprised when they utter all sorts of things against you. They persecuted your Lord. They persecuted the perfect man who committed no error. They will certainly persecute us as well. So take heart when St. Peter writes these words. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the end is near. It is nearer to us now than when we first believed. And while I do not know the hour that Christ will return, I know that it's true. Be serious and watch for it. Be diligent in prayer, as St. Peter commands here. And above all, have fervent love for one another. Lean on one another. Recognize that there you have a family of believers who confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, who confess that they are sinners like you, but sinners that Jesus Christ died for, that he shed his blood for, that he has washed in the waters of holy baptism. And when you kneel with them, that you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord also in his supper, that what we receive is the actual body and blood of Jesus Christ in, with, and under the bread and wine for the forgiveness of our sins. That we confess that the Bible is God's word, not just that it contains it. That we confess that God did create everything in six natural days. That he did create marriage between a man and a woman for life. That in the beginning he created them male and female. And that he died for those who believe otherwise, and for us too. You must confess these things. You must stand united in these things and kneel united in these things, for the day is coming. And you should also put the best construction on everything. That you do not simply assume the worst about your fellow brother or sister in Christ, for love covers a multitude of sins. So be hospitable to one another without grumbling, he continues. As each one has received a gift, give it to one another. Minister it as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. All of us have gifts, and all of those gifts are given from our Father who is in heaven. Use those gifts to his glory. Use those gifts not to work against your brothers and sisters, but to work with and for the betterment of your brothers and sisters. The time has come that disunity pass from within the church, and that rather unity take hold and take over. That we strive to live together against a world that so desperately despises us. We should not despise one another. Rather, we should love one another as Christ has loved us and work with each other. The church sings. Yea, Lord, 'twas thy rich bounty gave my body, soul, and all I have in this poor life of labor. Lord, grant that I in every place may glorify thy lavish grace and help and serve my neighbor. Let no false doctrine me beguile. Let Satan not my soul defile. Give strength and patience unto me to bear my cross and follow thee. Lord Jesus Christ, my God and Lord, my God and Lord, in death thy comfort still afford. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.